brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
We're trying to pour so much into them to where this is just what they want to be or where they want to be. And
see all this kind of stuff. The good thing about me is I'm not very smart. And we're going to tackle the guy with the brown thing.
Woo. We all lost last week.
We're all losers, so I don't feel so bad.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us, large device or small. John here, Hannah there. And we only have 2 weeks. It's just like we should have said this like earlier. We only have 2 weeks left in the regular season.
It's insane. It's unbelievable to think about.
But we would have, this would have been 1 week to go in the regular season.
I know.
But we can blame Helene and everybody for that. But it's getting down to cases. We had 20 regions that could have had region titles. I think we only ended up with six being decided this past weekend. And so now we have the chaos of this weekend and next weekend to get us ready for the chaos of the playoffs.
Yeah, in total, over the past couple of weeks, 23 of the GHSA's 56 regions have champions. And North Atlanta won their first title in their 34-year history.
Excellent.
So that is awesome. Wanted to give them a shout out.
Yep.
Some regions are still in the blender.
Oh,
complete blender.
That's
Region 1-6A. We've been talking a lot about them on the podcast, but it's just so fun.
It's fun for us because we get to talk about it.
Many scenarios that still have
coaches
to happen
hate it.
This week to determine the winner. So
math,
things were a little clearer after Lowndes beat Richmond Hill last Friday. Just like a hair clearer.
Sure they were.
Richmond Hill just fell out of the running there. We'll have Vikings head coach Adam Carter here to talk to us about what it's going to take for Lowndes to win the region, or they could be number three. We also talked to Fannin County head coach Chad Cheatham to hear about their historic season, undefeated at 9-0, and they're going for their region title on Friday.
Yeah, and there are some mathematical equations that have them toward the top of the rankings in Class A Division I when it comes to the math and how that's going to work for the postseason. We'll talk to Chad about math. We'll talk about how tough it is in Class A D1. They had a big win over Christian Heritage. They're looking up at teams like Toombs County and Vidal and Dublin right now in Class A Division I, but there's math there that we got to look at. There's math all over the place we got to look at. And oh, we got a new friend.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we got a new friend. Hang on.
Let's take a look. I think we forgot about our friend last week.
Well, it's right here. And it's from our friend Stephen Holmes at Pike County.
Amazing.
And so he has blessed us with that one.
For those not watching the video version.
Yes.
Red helmet.
Why would you not watch the video version?
I don't know. I don't know, John. People are busy.
I repel people
black
with my
and
looks.
White stripe down the middle, big black P. It's looks like a lineman's helmet. It's
Well, the thing is, if you turn it, you see the paint.
It's rolled.
The paint
up.
The paint that has been traded on this particular helmet, I think it is a lineman's helmet. So, but now, big thanks to the Pike County Pirates and our friend Stephen Holmes down in Zebulon to add this to the stacks.
Yeah,
very,
we'll
very
have
cool.
To show that during playoffs when we're in studio.
And so, if you have a helmet that is just hanging out,
we've collected so many. We're a little bit slower this season on asking for the helmets.
But if you want to have, well, now that we're getting closer and closer to the time of the year where we're going to be indoors, if you want to show off your helmet to the rest of the state, and we'll share it as well, just go ahead and reach out to me and Hannah. Reach out to us here at GPB Sports, and we will gladly have friends added. And a lot of folks will sit there and say on the video version, hey, this is a better look of John right now. Absolutely.
Yeah, just put that helmet on, John, and everything will look way better.
Well, or put it in front of your face and it'll look better.
Hey, who were the other notable region winners last week?
Oh, wow. You had to ask me that.
I did.
I know. It's
always
like,
put you on the spot.
Yeah.
You got all this paperwork in front of you. Might as well look through it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. I mean, we got a game this week that's going to decide one with Carrollton and Douglas County. You've got Buford at the top. North Gwinnett got their win. And North Gwinnett, you see the celebration photos with them getting their win. They end up with a region title as well. And you've got, let's see. So here's your region champs. Harrison, North Cobb, North Atlanta, North Gwinnett. So there's a lot of North going on in 6A.
Yes. Good season for the North.
Lee County got the win, and they're a region 2 champ in 5A. Hughes is the region champ in 5A. Woodward Academy with their win over Decatur. That was a 1-2 after we had shown on the web Lakeside and Decatur the week before. That was going to kind of be the 2-3. So right now, Woodward knocking off Decatur last week. That's the 1-2 there. Then you've got Rome winning in Class 5A. They put up a big number on New Manchester. Perry, Class A, Region 1. You want to talk about something that's in the blender and you're going to have angry 3 and 4 seeds? Region 1, Quad A. Stockbridge with a win. Creekside's a region champ. Cartersville, a region champ. North Oconee. Peach County with a win. North Hall and Calhoun in AA. Carver Columbus, Columbia Rockmart, Biff Parsons got his 100th career win. Heard County got a win, so Shane Lassiter, friend of the network, he got a region title in Class A D1.
I talked to Shane. It's been a while.
Athens Academy ran the table. They're 10-0 in Region 8, and then Early County in Manchester, who got the win over Mount Zion Carroll in our web game last week on GPB.org, got the region champ. So we got 23. We got some that were added this past week.
Always love to look at the GHSF daily upsets. Six previously unbeaten teams were taken down last week, which is really surprising this late in the season. Mary Persons beat number one Sandy Creek.
That was big.
37-29. What does that do there, John?
Well, Mary Persons brought Sandy Creek back to the group because Mary Persons had to forfeit some games earlier this year because of player ineligibility. And so this was a big win for that senior class. And shout out to them and head coach Brian Nelson for sticking with it. Now, Mary Persons, I don't think they're in a position to make it to the postseason, but a signature win like this for a senior class like that, very, very cool moment for Mary Persons and the Bulldogs there in Middle Georgia.
Okay, well, it's time to figure out what's going on in Region 1
What's
6A.
Going on in Region 1 6A?
Breaks it down for us on what it'll take for Lowndes to be number one in their region. Let's get to it. Hey, Coach Carter, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to see you guys. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while, and I know you're doing good. Coming off a big 28-7 win over Richmond Hill, you're 8-1 overall in the season, 3-1 in region play. How would you grade your team after that win and so far this season? What assessments would you make?
Anytime you get a Region 1 win, you feel good about it. You know, I think you have to go back and evaluate what you did well and not well, but I do think you have to feel good about it. They're hard to come by. And we felt good about our opportunities that we had to create some plays offensively. We felt okay about being able to stop the run. And I think that, you know, the region game that we lost, we had a couple missed tackles in the run game versus a really, really talented running back. But that was kind of the difference in the game. So to be able to limit Richmond Hill in the run game was a huge positive for us.
So where do you think you are right now as a team coming into the last game of the regular season, which happens to be the Wintersville Classic, which has a lot of math going on in Region 1 6A? So going into this last game, where do you think you are in Season 2?
Yeah, I think we're a lot further along. I keep bragging on this 25 class, and they kind of are the ones that kind of lead our team for sure and that are the reason why we're here. I think that we still have a lot to learn, a lot to do at this place. But the kids have bought in. We've done some things differently. The community has been great. You know, that investment in these kids and the program is something that you come to South Georgia for. Going into the Wintersville Classic, you know, I think that anytime it's the week 10 of the season, playoff implications and region championship possibilities and all that, anytime that's on the line, it just magnifies this game even more. Y'all should come check it out. It'll be a good environment here at the Palace. Our fans will show up. I know theirs will too. It's always a good thing to be going into the last week of the season and still have an opportunity to win a championship. And so that's kind of what the goals are. I'm proud of this group. They came a long way. The coaching staff that we have here, my assistant coach has done a tremendous job of preparing them each week and getting them to try to just give a little bit more than what they think they got. We're not filled with superstars all over the place by any means. We got really good high school football players that go out and have to work for what they get. And so I'm proud of where we're at. I'm hoping that our kids are not done. I think that if you needed any more motivation for a week 10 game, you know, this is going to be five straight in region. We were supposed to have a bye week. And, you know, with the hurricane and everything, it got pushed back. And so this is five straight region games. That is not easy, especially down here in this region we're in. I mean, you look at it up until last week, five of the six, you know, could have been in any form of like one, two, and three. And so, you know, our region is really strong this year. I feel like a bunch of the teams that have a chance to go and have some success in the playoffs. And so it's a big week for us. You know, I keep telling our kids and our community, it's just another week. You guys can put all the big emphasis on everything else. We're just going to try to focus on football.
Yeah, the door is still open for a championship. You inherited a 5-6 team. Went 4-6 last year, missed the playoffs, now 8-1. What do you think the biggest difference is? And you will get a shot down the playoff run.
Yeah, I think the difference, and I should have my shirt on, I guess. But, you know, we talked all offseason about trust, right? Like, you know, when I first got here, I told that senior class that was here last year, they had you know, they had, that was their fourth head coach, essentially, and a different person telling them that this is the way you do it versus this way. And, you know, you think about an offensive line kid or defensive line, a DB kid or whatever. And, you know, that may have been six coaches for them. And so I think that's the biggest issue, you know, or the biggest fix, not issue. That was the biggest issue then, was just the 100% sellout and buy-in. You know, we have talked all season. I know this sounds simple, but we've talked all offseason about Love Lounge. This is a special place, and the tradition here is very strong. And, you know, you kind of lose sight of that when you have some turnover and different people telling you about the place, and then they'll leave and those kind of things. So to be able to come in and, you know, have that consistency amongst the staff and the kids, they know every day when they walk in what to expect. They know what they're going to get from me and our staff. And I think that's been the biggest thing. They've trusted us. They trust each other. This 25 class is a tight group that have played together for a long time. And they do love this place. They really do. They love running out on Friday night. And every Friday, and I tell our community this every time I have a chance to talk about them, that they're doing everything they can to make this community proud. So it's a special group.
How long did that buy-in take? Because sometimes it takes a little longer than it does with others. For this particular group, was it something that a switch it did in fact flip, or did it take a little while for it to get to that point?
It's definitely been a process. You know, I think especially when, you know, it's winning solves a lot, right? And so when you come in and you're trying to create, you know, you're the way of what you feel like is the way to win and put your stamp on things as far as the culture and the philosophies and all those things. And then we didn't win last year. You know, I look back at the season and four of those losses we were winning in the fourth quarter. We couldn't finish. You look back last year at the Richmond Hill game. You know, we had lost to Valdosta, and I had two seniors quit the next Monday morning. We lost it, or we're in a tough game at Richmond Hill, and the next Monday morning we have more quit, right? And so, like, we had to – it was a process. Those kids were – they had struggled, you know, and when you go through all the change and the those different head coaches and different people in your life and all those things, that trust is not easy. You know, high school boys, it's not easy all the time to develop trust with them. I did tell them right when the first day I met them in the back media center before I was introduced, that the biggest thing that I had to do here was to get a group of young men to trust me. You know, I didn't have to develop that trust with them first. I had to get them to trust me first. And I think that's what this senior class, again, these kids will pull up into my drive and come hang out with Steele. These kids will come to soccer games. These kids, they're just, it's a different group. You know, and we've done things here. Like, we were able we brought back silver helmets. We brought back silver pants. I was able to reno the locker room. We're trying to pour so much into them to where this is just what they want to be or where they want to be. And they want to give everything they got because they know we're pouring back into them.
And your record shows. The record shows your only loss of the season was to Colquitt. And this region is a doozy. We're calling this the region of doom. This
well,
is our region
yeah,
of doom.
It is.
Region 1-6A. What's the math? What implications does Wintersville Classic have? How is this region going to break down this week?
Yeah, you know, I still have a lot of buddies and stuff in Metro Atlanta that I talk to, and everybody's like, "What's going on?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm like, "Hey, you want to wait it out, just like we are." You know, last week we were able to secure a playoff spot last week, and I was talking to somebody. I was like, "Man, we're sitting there 7-1 and don't even know if we're getting in yet." And so that's a wild deal. The way our region is going to shake out right now, in the mathematical side of it is. If we win Friday, we need Moultrie to lose to win the region. If we win and Colquitt or Moultrie wins, then they would win the tiebreaker. If Valdosta beats us, then they win the region.
Wow.
And we would go to three. So
wow.
It's all over. I think the worst we can be is three. I think mathematically that's kind of the deal. The worst we can be is three. And then with some help, you could be one. So I've told our kids, you go to control what you can control and find a way to win the game. If you win the game, I think we're guaranteed a home playoff game. So, obviously we won a region championship around here. I had the maintenance guy ask me today if we win, is the region championship ours? I said, not necessarily. He said, well, I have my paint ready. I'm ready to paint it on the wall. And so folks around here are excited about that. But again, I think that we're excited about that. We're not done. I think that a lot rides on this. You never know what's going to happen on Friday night here. Richmond Hill is a really good football team. We were 7-7 in the going into the fourth, and we kind of busted it open in the fourth right there a little bit. But, you know, they had beat Valdosta the week before. Valdosta's best player didn't play, Todd. But, going over there for them into the hog pen is not an easy task. We got in a shootout with them in the first half, and then the defense has kind of settled in the second half. We lost by a field goal. So you never know what will happen. I know Camden's sitting there waiting on somebody to beat somebody and all that. So is Richmond Hill. So I think the only one that can't get in right now is Tifton. Everybody else has a chance to get in.
So you mentioned you've got a roster full of football players, and this is our make that kid an offer question that we always like to ask when we have coaches here on the podcast. Is there someone – that is too whatever in that group of football players that you have in your 25s that would qualify for that make that kid an offer designation? Who would fit on that list for you this year in that list of football players?
I have a couple, but the one that probably sticks out to me the most that kind of encompasses everything we're about would be Caleb Barron. Caleb Barron is our starting nose. He was a two-year starter here at offensive guard. And in the offseason, I said, listen, man, I need you to play defensive line. Friday night, he was one of our player of the weeks. He don't know that yet. I'll announce it at practice. But he goes in at nose against Richmond Hill. And if you've seen what they do on offense, it is smash mouth, old school, right at your face. And I told him if he was able to win that matchup with the center, we had a chance. And he went out and did that, and he's done it all year. He's a 6'1", 250-pound defensive lineman. He's undersized to play inside. He's a defensive end. He's just having to play inside for us. But he's got grades. He's got size. He's quick off the ball. He loves football. He loves this place. He's a lounge kid. So Caleb Barron, number 42.
Awesome. All right, Coach. Well, we've got your game circled on the calendar. It'll be one of the top games of the week on Friday. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for the time. I know we know how busy you are, so thanks for chatting, Coach.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Go Vikings.
One coach down, one to go, and for this one we go to the Mountain Region for one of the stories that's kind of been flying below the radar here in 2024. We go to Class A. We catch up with friend of GPB, Chad Cheatham, and find out what's going on with the Fannin County Rebels.
Hey, Coach, how are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it.
Undefeated at 9-0 on the year, coming off a big 48-21 win over Christian Heritage on Friday. How are you able to get win after win after win this season?
Oh, gosh. I think that great coaches are made by great players. And hats off to our kids. We've been blessed and fortunate. We hadn't had the injury that sometimes small schools get into. And knock on wood, thank God for that. We've been able to maintain a lot of momentum going into each week. And I think that this group of seniors have played a lot of ball in the past couple of years. Yeah, they're mature, they're businesslike, and a testament to them. Our coaching staff is just amazing. And they've been with me for so long now. I think, you know, continuity in your staff and all the way from our rec program to our level is been great over the past 7 years. And I think that's made a huge difference. I mean, I watched our seniors play when I first got here in 18 and they were like 5 and 6 years old, 8 years old. It's just been a blessing watching them all the way through.
So with this staff, Chad, you're now north of 50 wins there in the program as a head coach. When you look back at day one when you took over as a head coach to now, what have you learned about yourself as a head coach, and what has your staff learned about being a staff as a part of this collective to see the success that you've had up there at Fannin County?
You know what? Being honest, John, and transparent, one of the things that I had to learn myself, and I still have to learn that every day, is you got to trust who's working for you. You hire these guys, and you hire them for a purpose. I was so used to, when I got here, calling offenses, calling defenses, and it took me a while to kind of let those things go and to realize that I can't do everything. I've hired these guys. They're great men. They're great coaches. Let them do their job and leave them alone. And the biggest thing that I preach to them is, how can I serve you? Let me serve you so that you can better serve our kids. So I guess my philosophy has shifted in, how do I serve my staff? How do I take care of them? How do I take care of their wives? How do I take care of their families so that they can in turn take care of myself, me, which is needed a lot of times. But more importantly, how can they take care of our kids? And we have an open line of communication all the time. And I don't know, that may sound cheesy, cliche-ish, or maybe it doesn't sound like a coach at all. I don't know. That's just kind of the way I've matured. And the older I get, the more I do this thing.
You're a local guy. You know these mountains. How does that help you when it comes to coaching and getting to know your players?
Yeah, it does. I grew up here. The culture, I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with parents and the way. Fannin County is a great place. I call it the home of hardworking people and just plain good folks. And we're blue collar. Our kids are blue collar. There's nothing that you know, jumps out at you except they love the weight room. They love to compete. And this community embraces Friday nights because that's what Fannin County and Blue Ridge is about.
When you look at Class A D1, there are, depending on the poll and depending on the math and depending on who you talk to, there are some folks that have you ranked top three right now in Class A D1. And then there are some with math will sit there and say that you, because of strength of schedule and because of what you've been able to do, you could be the overall number one seed when math becomes involved. How do you focus on Gordon Lee and not focus on all these things that we want to ask you about?
Kind of like Saban said, don't listen to the rat poison. Don't take it back, you know. One game, one day at a time. Get up in the morning, know you're blessed to be where you're at. You got 50 kids strong that you love, and look forward to going to work and practicing. I don't know, John, how do you – I mean, as a coach like myself and a staff – I think I said today we hadn't accomplished anything yet, and that's kind of how I approach it. Will I feel better after next Friday? I might feel worse. I don't know, but you know that there will be a little bit of a relief when this whole thing shakes out, and then we have the week off, and we see all this kind of stuff. The good thing about me is I'm not very smart, so when you see all those PR, whatever, decimal points and all that kind of stuff, it just goes over my head. And we're going to tackle the guy with the brown thing, and then we're going to try to score touchdowns. That's first downs, touchdowns, tackle the guy with the brown thing, and I'll be happy.
I think you broke Hannah, Chad.
Tackle the guy with the brown thing and get across that line right there. Yellow square.
Yeah, kick the brown thing between the two yellow things. Make sure that you get over the really thick white thing.
Amazing.
See, we make two. It's not that complicated. Blocking, tackling, tackle the man with the brown thing, and take the brown thing and stick it in the end zone, kick it through the uprights, and we okay.
Amen, Coach. It's amazing. Yeah.
These X's and O's things, I mean, I went in a math class the other day. I teach education, and the teacher told the student to find X, and I pointed at the board and said, it's right there.
You're like, left guard.
It's on the board right there. There's the X. What do you mean, find X?
So not a math guy. What class do you teach, Coach?
I teach teaching as a profession.
Okay.
So it's EDU 101, 102, 103.
Okay.
I teach guys to be excited every day like I am to come to school and get after it.
That's amazing. That suits you so perfectly. You know what else is exciting? It is senior night on Friday when you host Gordon Lee. What do these seniors mean to your team, and how fun is that going to be to honor them on such a special season?
Well, I think I look at it in a lot of ways. The good thing is it's not going to be our last game together. And we kind of know that. We don't know where we're going to fall. So even though it is senior night, we also understand that we're still going to be together. And as long as we stay together, we can be together. And the longer we can be together, the happier we are. So we're going to do whatever it takes to stay together as long as we can. The other thing is it's going to be emotional. We lost a senior, a twin, to one of our seniors, John Holsenbach. Number 52, and his twin brother and family will be walking in front of that audience, and John is supposed to be there. And I don't know if I get through it. And we're going to retire his jersey. Wow. And our season has been, the motto has been 52 reasons. Why? 52 reasons. And this is what really freaks you out. And I don't know how long we've got to talk, but if y'all need me to shut up, I will. But this is what's crazy, John, is that if we win Friday night, it's a region championship. It's my 52nd win, and we retire 52.
Yeah.
So don't think I'm not freaked out.
Oh, I got chills on that one. Woo!
And I didn't know this till about 2 weeks ago. So I don't know how it's going to be yet. Joy. And at the same time, you know, the heartbreaking, but it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good either way.
One more for you. And thanks for hanging out with us as you always do. Make that kid an offer. It's the make that kid an offer question.
Yeah.
And we were blessed to be introduced to Seth Reese a couple of years ago when it came to the make that kid an offer element here at Georgia Public. And I know that this year, Carson Callahan has done really well for you at quarterback. When it comes to somebody that could fit that make that kid an offer, if it's Lawson Sullivan, if it's Carson Callahan, what senior do you think could fit that make that kid an offer idea for you this season up there at Fannin County?
Golly. I mean, there's more. There's Lawson, there's Callahan, there's Cooper Bourne, who just set the tackle record, career tackle record. Obviously, those three stand out. Case Holloway is probably going to Harding. I can't pick one over the other.
You don't have to, Coach.
You didn't have to. It could be a choice D, all the above.
It's awesome. I would love to see Carson Callahan, Lawson Sullivan, Cooper Bourne get an offer. Yeah. But because what people don't understand is you're not only getting a great football player, but you're getting a 4-0 kid with each of them. You're getting kids that come from a great background, who know how to work, who is only going to help your program in any capacity that they serve. And they're going to know their role and they're going to do their role no matter what.
Well, remember those names. This is such a great segment because you mentioned Seth Reese, John, and he was able to go to Army after our segment. So we got to get these names out and we got to get exposure for these kids because they're outstanding. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, it was so wonderful talking to you, and I still have chills, by the way. You guys have such a special season, and we've got your game circled on Friday. It's going to be a great one.
Well, Hannah and John, you know I love you. I appreciate you. Have great joy in my life, and that's because of people like you. And I love to have fun. I love to have a good time. And, man, if it's just a blessing. You guys do just an amazing job for Georgia athletics. But as I tell John, it goes well beyond Georgia. Y'all are nationally. Y'all do things for kids that affects families across the nation. And for that, you guys, love y'all. Thank you for having me.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you so much. That was so kind.
I love you, Chad.
Love you, brother. Thank you. All right, love you, Anna.
Love you, Coach. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Let's do it.
He's got Zoom figured out. He's all gassed up now.
That's a miracle.
That's fantastic.
I'm juiced. All right.
I'll see you soon.
Bye.
See y'all.
Oh, my God. There are folks around the state that you love for various reasons. Full disclosure. I'm friends with Chad. Chad's having a great season. Fannin County's having a great season. And it was great to catch up with him and share what's going on up there in the mountain region. 9-0. I think it's their best start in a handful of years under Chad when they had the double-digit win seasons. And then right now, like I said, they're top five in the class. And math happens, they could be number one by the time they're done.
Yes, they could. And Chad figuring out the Zoom was incredible. Touchdown, Coach Cheatham.
He was gassed up. Now that he's got his internal preferences and settings all squared away on his computer,
he's ready to go.
He's
maybe
ready.
We'll have him back on next week.
He's ready to do Zooms every week
it
now.
Before it resets.
He's ready. He's ready to go.
Back on.
All right. So
our game this week. Another region decider. Carrollton at Douglas County, 7:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. on GPB. Yes. GPBSports.com. GPB Sports app. Nikki will be your gal this week.
Yes.
Ooh, it's
you're
just
like
been a
busy.
It's
things.
Just been a really wild fall in my world. So you'll have Nikki and John mm-hmm. holding down the fort.
Yep.
Our web game is Roswell versus Milton, also for a region title.
Correct.
Region 7-5A, Milton nationally ranked. So that'll be an outstanding web game. Probably a lot of viewers.
All right. So let's get through what happened with everybody last week and wins and losses all around the board.
All right.
So here we go. All right. So Shiloh beat Lakeside Atlanta. And this is going to be one of those weeks. Shiloh beat Lakeside Atlanta. Dublin beat Central Macon. Peachtree Ridge beat Parkview. Mm-hmm. Sprayberry beat Lassiter. Mm-hmm. Temple beat Darlington. Woodward Academy beat Decatur.
Woo.
We all lost last week.
We're all losers, so I don't feel so bad.
We all lost last week.
Wow.
So Woo. Now what that means is we go to our words of wisdom from Marky Mark. So
we need some words of wisdom to feel better. And honestly, Ambassador Jeremy,
yes.
He had some really good words of wisdom prior to the podcast.
Oh,
today.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll start with Marky Mark and then go to Ambassador Jeremy here. It's a double dose. So it's words.
Yeah, I think we should double dose because Jeremy just really gave me a very
positive
outlook on life today.
It's words of wisdoms, starting with Marky Mark. What's on your mind?
All right. So going, I guess, with the aging journey and everything still going to update. All right. You don't have to laugh.
Considering that the aging journey has, there are folks on this side of the glass, sir, that have gone a little further in the marathon than you. Please continue.
Dude, I'm hoping it's going to be a marathon, but no. Like I had a busy weekend. Went to Sneaker Con on Saturday.
Sneaker Con.
What?
Oh yeah, just a bunch of Air Force Ones, people like hypebeast people.
Marky
with face
Mark
tattoos.
Is a sneakerhead. I was not aware of this.
Oh, I've not to their level. I can't drop $400 on a pair
no,
of shoes.
No.
That's
but
insane.
Still, yeah.
But
people with sleeves of tattoos like sneakers.
No, sneakers.
He said tattoos.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone, like tons of people have like face tattoos and things.
And then they are like really into sneakers?
Yeah, it's like a, so imagine like instead of having a normal job, you trade sneakers for a living. You're trading $1,000
But I do that with baseball cards. So no, I get that. That's fine. It's a commodity.
But
I understand.
You don't have a face tat, John.
No, I don't.
We
no.
could make that happen.
No, I will not be
what
like,
tattoo
no.
tattoo would actually, you get
no.
on your face?
None. Choice D, none of the above. Continue, Marky Mark.
No, I want to figure out this face tattoo.
If
like,
you
I
were
think
being
we need to
forced,
think about it.
If you were being forced, like you
I would
just had
run
to.
In the other direction is what would happen.
Had to get a face tattoo.
If I had to, if I had to get a
if
face tattoo, I would
get
not
one.
Get a face tattoo.
That's just not true.
This is what happens when Hannah hasn't had
enough
caffeine.
If your life was on the line and you had to get a face tattoo, what would you get?
Probably the Maori warrior tattoo that Mike Tyson has.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I was thinking you could do like the Gucci Mane one where it's like the ice cream cone with lightning bolts coming off.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I'd have to look at this. The only, I was going with a frame of reference that I actually
I would
knew.
Go with Posty and I would get like tired in cursive up underneath my eyes.
Okay.
Tired mom.
Yeah.
So you just don't even have
okay,
to ask
so
me
you
any
went,
questions.
Okay, so you went original content. I was just going with something that's, that where I knew that, okay, dude, I need you to do this.
Post Malone has like the, he has tired, right? Who has tired?
Or is that Jelly Roll?
Oh, maybe it's Jelly Roll.
Sneaker Con, continue,
okay.
Mark.
So wait, actually, I'm going to finish off on the face tattoo bit for just a sec.
Sure.
There was one dude I worked with at a restaurant. He was a chef. He had a... literally tattooed head to toe.
Wow.
He had a Glenn, like the Danzig, like skull. Like, you know a Danzig.
He oh, no, some, no, yeah. Okay, heavy metal, yeah.
Yeah, he had the Danzig skull literally tattooed on his actual head. Like, oh, wow. It was insane.
It's a life-size representation.
It actually was.
Wow.
It was nuts.
Yes, it's Post Malone. He has always on one eye and tired underneath the other.
Okay, so it is Post Malone.
That's what I would get. Any hoosies. Yes. Any hoosies.
Yes, please continue, Marky Mark.
Just went to Sneaker Con very... it's just ridiculous. Just mm-hmm. like, you're like, dang, this is $1,000 pair of shoes and someone's made their entire living doing this.
Oh. It's the mercantile exchange scene from Trading Places. Sell! Sell, Mortimer, sell!
It's just stocks.
Yes.
It's the same. Actually, it's the exact same thing. Yeah. It's nothing's changed.
Absolutely.
But that's what I did this weekend. That and saw a band and then I'm very tired.
Okay, so words of wisdom. Don't go to Sneaker Con, see a band, and come into work on a Monday because you'll be tired.
Yep.
True. Great words of wisdom there.
See? He's great with words of wisdom. Ambassador Jeremy, follow that up, please, with your words of wisdom. So as we continue, the words of wisdoms.
Well, the words of wisdom for me are easy, that everything with time is garbage. Everything
Doesn't
you own.
Doesn't that just make you feel
yes,
sick?
Everything you own, all the things in your house, all these shoes that Mark
and
Mark is talking
we won.
About, it's just garbage at some point in time, whether it be in your lifetime or it be in your grandchildren's lifetime. At some point, everything mm-hmm. you own is trash. Mm-hmm.
So this reminds me, mm-hmm. and this is going to be the search mm-hmm. for everyone this week, mm-hmm. Whether you're watching, listening, or here part of the show. Go find the Tom Hanks, John Candy movie, Volunteers.
Okay.
And there's a speech in that movie much like what you were just saying. So there you go. That's your right. IMDb / YouTubian.
I will not be searching, so somebody else can
yeah,
Google and report.
They'll let
back.
Hannah know what's going on. So I see how this works. All right. So
all right, that's a show, John.
Yes, it's
we
a
all
show.
Feel really great about our lives. We are amped. We yes. are,
don't collect things.
We,
that's
we
all.
Are ready
sorry. Too late. Too late. Too late for that. So Hannah's gonna. What are you doing now? Oh, that's right. You got like weddings and things.
Oh, this weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
I just always have, it's just a busy, it's just
during,
a busy
during football season, this is her third wedding.
Wow. Well,
we have to have this discussion at some point.
Got
I know,
lots
but they lots of friends have to understand that this is football season and you don't have weddings during football season in the South.
But you know the best part about it is that Nikki is so incredible. So it's a treat. It's a little treat. Get to see Nick.
So right after Halloween, our Halloween, trick or treat.
Maybe she'll scare you.
I could follow that up, but I'm not going to.
That's
so,
a show,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, it's a show.
That's
so for Hannah,
show.
For Marky Mark, for King James, for Ambassador Jeremy, for Sandy, and everybody else here at Georgia Public
Commander
Broadcasting.
Sandy.
Yeah, Commander Sandy, thank you. For everybody here at Georgia Public Broadcasting, enjoy your games this week. 2 weeks left in the regular season. Then the third season begins. Please make sure that your tray tables are at their full upright and locked positions and that your seatbelts are securely fastened. That's where we are. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week.
brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.